Welcome in to Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in once again for Jared Stillman alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd.
Yes, sir.
How we doing?
I am outstanding. I'm thrilled.
Got to meet the outstanding quota for the day.
I got a doubleheader going here. I couldn't be more excited.
We've got Vanderbilt versus Mississippi State on one TV in the studio. They're about to get underway out there in Omaha. Game that was supposed to happen last night but got rescheduled to today. And then on the other TV, you don't have to mention the score, Floyd, but I had to have the Reds on.
The Reds in Houston. I mean, I'm holding my breath here.
You're Houston Astros as a former Houston resident.
Yeah.
Are you a big Astros fan?
No.
Were you a big Astros fan back then?
You know what? We live close to a couple of the guys, so you kind of had to be.
So you rooted for the Astros for them?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. I rooted for them.
Okay. Okay.
So
just a lot going on this afternoon, not only with these two baseball games on the TVs here in the studio, but Mike Conley traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz. So big trade there in the NBA. Some NHL news trickling out from the awards in Vegas, which the awards are tonight. Corey Perry bought out by the Anaheim Ducks, and the 2020 NHL draft will be in Montreal.
Wow. That's good.
I would hope that here in the next few years, the NHL draft will return to Nashville. But that is another story for another day.
Yeah. I mean, we need to. I mean, if we've proven one thing across country and all sports areas, I mean, we can kill the draft now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you want to see a draft, you bring it to Nashville, you will see a draft.
Well, and the last time the NHL draft was here in Nashville was back in 2003. When downtown looked completely different than it does now.
Oh, yeah.
And the 03 draft, a lot of people talk about the 03 draft because of all the star players that were drafted in that draft. I mean, it was probably, Floyd, the best NHL draft of all time.
Wow.
In terms of star power and guys who have gone on to have successful careers. I mean, the first round was just completely loaded. If I remember right, like 28 or 29 of the 30 first-round picks played in the National Hockey League, and a lot of them became at least average players, if not star players. So, but if they bring that draft back to Nashville, I think a lot more people would be talking about the party around the draft rather than the all-stars that were drafted inside Bridgestone Arena. But we're going to shift into some Titans here. And Floyd, yesterday we had Ross Tucker on from SiriusXM and The Athletic. Ross Tucker does a great job talking all things NFL. Played in the NFL himself as an offensive lineman, bounced around with numerous teams. And yesterday, we asked him about Marcus Mariota and his thoughts on Marcus Mariota and whether or not the Titans have their franchise guy or not.
You know, I actually think that they're going to be in quarterback purgatory. I think that they're going to be in a place where they're not quite sure about Mariota, which is where they are now. I think this might sound bad. I mean, obviously they want him to be good and they want him to be the guy, but I almost feel like the Titans are in a situation where the worst thing that could happen is if he were average this year. I almost feel like with the way that where this franchise is right now, they just need clarity as much as anything else. You know, is he a top 20 guy? Can he stay healthy? My mindset, if I were a GM, if I had a top 20 guy, I think you hold on to him as long as you possibly can because you can win with a top 20 guy. If Marcus shows that he's not that this year, you know, then they got to consider their options.
That was Ross Tucker on with us yesterday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the thing that really stuck out to me, Floyd, from what Ross Tucker said there was Marcus Mariota being, quote, average, being the worst thing for the Titans this season. We talked about it a little bit after he mentioned that yesterday on the program. But Marcus Mariota being average again this season is going to lend to us here on June 19th, 2020, sitting here asking who and what is Marcus Mariota as quarterback of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
And as Marcus Mariota enters his contract year, you have to know a lot more about Marcus Mariota by November, December, January than you do right now.
And I think we will. I mean, I think we will know a lot more about him. I'm not sure if it's going to be good or bad, but I think this. I think Marcus is largely, and Marcus has been largely, a reflection of the team. And I've used this before. I mean, Marcus seems to be one of those guys that maybe doesn't lift the team up as much as he plays as well as the team is playing. If we're running the ball effectively and we can play action pass and we can do some of those things, he's going to be all right. He'll be fine. You know, he'll be 20 and above. If we're not running the ball effectively and we can't do some of those things and they're keeping him in the pocket, then, you know, now you're going to be probably 20 and below.
Well, you saying that now triggers this thought. If Marcus Mariota is only as good as the supporting cast around him, then what will it do to the supporting cast around him if you give him the $25, $30 million that it usually takes to lock up your franchise quarterback, where maybe that salary is going to get in the way of you helping his supporting cast?
Well, I don't think – I mean, I think that's the way he is now. That doesn't mean that's the way he'll be his entire career. You know, I think what we're hoping is that's right now he's a reflection. As he gets more confidence, as he feels better, as he knows the offense better, as he knows the player, then that should grow. And then get to points in time where he's going to be able to in fact, carry the team. I'm not sure I ever see Marcus as a, you know, pick him up and put him on his back kind of guy as much as I see him as a leader by example and, you know, doing something inspirational and, you know, a block or a crazy run or a scramble or, something along those lines and that getting the guys excited and going from there. I think he will still have a chance if, in fact, you got to a point where you felt good about him playing with all the other guys and felt good about the offense and felt good the direction they were heading, you know, you could find a way to sign him and then let him mature another, you know, year or two to where he can do those things.
So Ross Tucker yesterday saying that Marcus Mariota being average this 2019 season is the worst thing for the Titans. This is kind of what I comprehend being average as for Marcus Mariota. The stats aren't great when you look at the entirety of a season. You're not wowed by any of the stats. The eye test shows inconsistency again, where some quarters he looks fantastic and he looks like he's a franchise quarterback, and then the next quarter he might look like a complete dud. And you combine all that with the fact that he's still nicked up with some injuries. You know, he might miss a game or two, but you can't count on him to finish every single game because there might be a game where he gets knocked out. And Ryan Tannehill has to come in and try to win you the game or keep you winning or what have you.
Okay.
And that being average, if that happens again for Marcus Mariota, because that is kind of the tale of what the last two seasons have been for Marcus Mariota. If it happens again, then I don't think the Titans are really in a position where they can just let Mariota walk in free agency. But they're not in a position where they should be. They're not in a position where they should throw a ton of guaranteed money at Marcus Mariota for 5-6 years. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So then the in between there is the franchise tag, and the franchise tag for the Titans for Marcus Mariota would probably cost in the range of what, $30 million?
Probably. In that 28, 29, 30.
And that number's somewhere. Not going to go down between now and next February or March.
No.
So. That's not an ideal situation either.
Oh, so far from it.
So it's hard to disagree with what Ross Tucker had to say there, where if Marcus Mariota is once again average, you're kind of right back in the same boat, but it's accentuated because you have to make a decision on him.
Well, the problem with all these different scenarios is the same in my mind, which is who out there wants Marcus? I mean, it just takes one team. And if there's one team, if you think you can sign Marcus for, you know, throw out a number, $24 million a year. Let's say you think you can sign him for that. Well, then there's that one club out there that says, wait a minute, I'll pay you $26 million a year. Now what do? You know, now you either have to jump that or you've got to, you know, let him go. And now you're looking for a quarterback. Now you're where that team that just got Marcus was. Mm-hmm. And so are you better off then? I don't know. You know, who's out there? What do you end up with? And that's the really, really, really hard part, because you don't want to get caught in a situation. And I'm looking at it from a GM standpoint, just a GM standpoint, where you get caught in a situation where you're bidding against another team just to make sure you have him, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. At that point in time, you know, you're telling yourself, oh, he'll get better. You know, we'll coach him up and it'll really make a difference and da 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 da. And you know you're probably lying to yourself, but the alternative is not to have one.
Right.
Which is not pretty.
615-737-1025. Are you a believer that Marcus Mariota can consistently be better than average moving forward in his career to the point where you feel confident enough to give him the big money to be your franchise quarterback here with the Tennessee Titans? That's all coming up next. Plus, there's something else Ross Tucker said yesterday that I want us to react to in regards to Marcus Mariota. That's all coming up next. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios, it is Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, been talking a lot of Marcus Mariota to start the show. And Ross Tucker, as we discussed last segment, said yesterday on this very program that Mariota being average is the worst thing for the Titans this upcoming season. And he really does believe at some point in the next couple years that the Titans are going to be in, quote, Titans quarterback purgatory. And he expanded upon that yesterday on the show.
You know, what becomes tough is if he's between 20 and 25, right? If you really go down and you write it down, if a guy's a bottom 5 to 7 quarterback in the league, you really got to try to upgrade there. If a guy's a top 20, you can absolutely win with that. And everybody's looking, you know, hopes to have a top 20. You know, everybody wants top 5, top 10, but that's hard. I feel like 20 to 25 is sort of no man's land, where it makes it tough to make a decision. Hey, do we extend this guy or do we look for somebody else? And my gut tells me that Marcus is probably going to be in that range. He's probably going to be a 20 to 25 guy in the league. I haven't seen enough from him to have confidence that he's a top 20 quarterback in the NFL when you factor in everything, consistency, health, et cetera.
That was Ross Tucker yesterday saying he has doubts about Marcus Mariota being a top 20 quarterback in the National Football League. Floyd, do you agree with that?
Well, I can see why he's saying that. Yeah, I mean, I think anybody would have trouble over these last 2 years to look at him and say, okay, he's a top 20 quarterback. I mean, he's been hurt. He's got, I want to say he's got fewer touchdowns in the last 2 years than he had in the single season 2 years ago. So, you know, he hasn't done anything to improve himself. He's thrown more interceptions, and he's been hurt. So, there's not a lot there to sell, mm-hmm. You know. And if you don't know the kid or, you know, how the team reacts to him or any of that stuff, then I think it's easy to say, yeah, I mean, he's that's pretty average. Well, I think when, you know, us, when we're looking at him, I think we feel better about him than that. I think everybody does. And I would put him as a top 20 quarterback. Now, keep in mind, not to contradict Ross, but, I mean, there's the real quarterbacks in the league. There's not 20 of them. You know, yeah. I mean, it's really, if you're looking at the quarterbacks and guys that you think are going to be, you know, you're talking about maybe, what, 12 guys? I don't know what the number is. I'd have to pull it out and look at it. But, I mean, there are a bunch of Marcus Mariota guys out there.
Well, then let's do this exercise, because I did this exercise earlier in terms of NFL quarterbacks taking all 32 starters in the NFL. In the top 10, I ranked them, but I didn't put a ton of thought into ranking them. But these, for me, at least the top 11 are pretty safe. Okay?
Okay.
Brady, Luck, Mahomes, Rodgers, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Philip Rivers, Roethlisberger, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, and when healthy, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, the last two guys, I would be suspect.
You would be suspect. So
not to disagree. I wouldn't totally disagree, but
you're not there yet.
I'm not there yet.
Okay, so are you saying nine quarterbacks then?
Okay, nine.
Because the top nine, it cuts off at Matt Ryan. And then after that, Wentz, Watson. I also have Cam Newton listed, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff.
See, all those guys are – now, Goff, I'm not sure with. I mean, Goff, just because I haven't seen enough. You know, in my mind, he hasn't played enough. All those other guys are kind of hit-and-miss guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cam Newton, it's – one year he's taking you to the Super Bowl, the next year you're going to win five games.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're back and forth with him.
And now you worry about his shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, whether or not he has much, much more longevity in the National
League. Yeah, and he can't even throw a ball yet. You know, so, I mean, you talk about being concerned.
The list of names that I just rattled off, do you put Jimmy Garoppolo in that list?
I don't put him in any list.
Ooh.
He's played six games.
Okay.
I mean, he's nothing for me.
What about Baker Mayfield?
I would put Baker Mayfield above Jimmy G.
Okay.
For me.
Derek Carr.
I would put him above.
Andy Dalton.
This is the age-old discussion, right?
Andy Dalton is like the league average quarterback. Like, if you want to talk about average, just say the words, the name Andy Dalton. I mean, that's about as average as it gets, right?
Five playoffs.
Yeah, and zero wins.
And zero wins, but and five playoffs.
And I feel like Andy Dalton is a lot like what you described with Marcus Mariota earlier in terms of he's only as good as the supporting cast around him.
And I would agree with that.
Where when he had A.J. Green and Gio Bernard and all those different weapons offensively healthy and firing on all cylinders with a good defense to go with that offense, they were making the playoffs every year.
I would agree. And the really, really hard part is how do you value that? Where do you put that? You know, how much you going to pay that guy?
Well, they paid him $100 million.
Yeah.
And, not all guaranteed, but it was a $100 million contract.
And they paid him $100 million because they had been, how many years has Cincinnati been quarterback-less? Not, you know, through the Akili Smith, through the, who'd we say yesterday? The guy from Houston?
David Klingler?
Klingler.
Yeah.
All of those guys.
Jeff Blake?
Yeah, winning 2, 3, 4 games a year. They've been through that, and they say, okay, wait a minute now. Choice is go back to 2, 3, 4 games a year or make the playoffs but not win any playoff games. Give me the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree with that, but Andy Dalton's never going to win a Super Bowl in Cincinnati.
No.
And, so,
and there, I mean, that very argument may be what we're staring right in the face.
So where do you put Marcus Mariota in the names that I just rattled off? After the top nine, which we think that is a tier that is separated from the rest of the names that we've been talking about, right?
Yes.
That second tier starting with Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Newton, Stafford, Cousins, Prescott, Goff, Garoppolo. Well, you're not putting Garoppolo on any list. Mayfield, Carr, Dalton. Maybe Nick Foles. Does he belong in that list? He's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But he's a wild card in everything because it's a unique situation there with Nick Foles.
See, it really is. And I'm more concerned about him than actually I was, you know, earlier. I think right now, knowing what we know, I mean, I think I would take, this sounds crazy, Marcus over Foles.
I would agree with you. I mean, I've got Marcus softly ranked at 17 here.
Okay, where'd you have Foles? What's Foles?
22.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus is a top 20 quarterback in my mind.
Borderline, but, barely.
But, yeah. Not 10, but 20, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, 19, 20, whatever the number is. But I don't think he's down there. Like, who do you have at the bottom of the list?
Well, I have two rookies, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins, because
sure.
You can't judge those guys yet. Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, kind
Where
of
you
the
have Marcus above Winston?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But Trubisky, I don't know exactly what he is. I mean,
Another
it was a great
guy.
Year last year,
oh,
but
great year.
Is he good because of the supporting cast, or was the supporting cast good because of him?
Yeah, no, that's another one of those guys you just have to see more of.
Let's take a call on Marcus Mariota, 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in and weigh in. Let's go to Cedric, who I guess is calling himself the Mariota fact giver. Cedric, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Well, listen, you can't say that Marcus Mariota is a top 20 quarterback when there are only 32 teams in the league. He's a bottom tier NFL starting quarterback.
So do you put him in the same list as Winston and Jackson and Manning and Flacco and Darnold and those names that I just rattled off?
Without question.
Okay.
Without question. Now, here's something. Would you guys pay Dak Prescott $30 million? Floyd, forgive me, your name escapes me, but would you guys pay Dak Prescott $30 million?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That's me.
Looking at Dak Prescott's numbers, he's thrown for four fewer touchdowns than Marcus Mariota. He's thrown for 19 fewer interceptions in one less year, and he's played in all 16 games. Now, the Marcus Mariota apologists will say, well, he's had a great running back. Well, Marcus had Derrick Henry, and Marcus had the AFC's leading rusher. He had one of the top tight ends. And he's still putting up subpar NFL top-tier quarterback numbers.
Well, the year that he had the AFC's leading rusher was his absolute best year. That was his killing it in the red zone, 26 touchdowns, however many interceptions it was. I mean, that was without a doubt his best year.
Yeah, it was. And Floyd, now you'll agree, he's not come close to that. Even last year when Derrick Henry was on that tear, Marcus's numbers were terrible. I mean, terrible.
Right.
Mahomes threw for 11 touchdown passes in like two games with Kansas City, and that's what he did for the year. And we want to give this guy $30 million.
I tend to agree with you, Cedric. Thanks for the call. And my name is Ryan, by the way. So you get Jared back tomorrow, the name that's actually on the show. Floyd, Marcus threw 26 touchdowns, 9 picks in 2016.
There you go.
Since then, 24 touchdowns combined.
Yeah.
In terms of passing.
And that's been the problem. I mean, that year, that 26 touchdown year, I don't think there was any doubt in anybody's mind that he was on his way to being the guy. He was going to be the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we lost the running game. And since that has happened, it's been downhill for him. And that's why it's going to be so very, very important to get this running game back and get it going.
Like, my biggest thing with Marcus, and we can get to this next segment too, is you just never know when it is that he's going to get hurt. I know you can say that about a lot of quarterbacks, but he just seems a lot more fragile, a lot more liable to get hurt.
I can't disagree with that, but the part that bewilders me is it's stuff you've never ever heard of.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, what, an elbow? A nerve in the elbow? I didn't even know you had nerves in the elbow.
And they're kind of fluky injuries, but at the same time, they happen a lot.
Yeah.
Whether he's playing through them or can't finish a game or can't start week 17 against Indy, he's just hurt a lot. Let's continue this conversation on the other side. 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in and weigh in on Marcus Mariota. I'm Ryan Porth. Ryan, by the way, Cedric, thank you for calling and thanks for listening.
Ryan the boss, by the way.
Ryan Porth in for Jared Stoneman this afternoon alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. We'll continue this conversation coming up next. Chris Sanders at 2:45 on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth in for Jared Stoneman alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, talking Marcus Mariota. Floyd, where we left off the conversation last segment was the fact that Marcus Mariota seems to get hurt just kind of with fluke injuries. And they're either injuries that you've never heard of before, have never seen before, at least in football, or they're kind of fluky injuries, and then you end up not having him come back in the game, or he has to miss a game because of it. And I think for me, that's the frustrating part, is that from game to game, week to week, you don't know whether he's 100%. You don't know if he's even available. You know, last summer, I don't know if it was you I was hosting with, or if you and Jared were both out at the same time, but I ran a figure of how many completed games did Marcus Mariota have in terms of the amount of games that he could finish in his career, even games that he missed completely. Of the possible games that he could have played and finished in the fourth quarter, he only finished like 78%, which was well below league average in terms of the normal starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 78%. Well, last year he only finished 12 games. I mean, everybody says, oh, well, he only missed two games. Well, he got hurt week one against Miami, and then he got hurt week 16 against Washington. Blaine Gabbert had to come in both games, and then Gabbert had to play or start week 17 against Indy in a win in your end game. You know, like it's just so.
Well, the hard part, again, in my opinion, is that, I mean, everybody knows everybody gets hurt. Okay, so, you know, that's. Is that the injuries are so kind of odd that it's like the elbow. You know, none of us have ever had that. I've been in the league 40 years and never even seen it. So when it happens, it's so odd. You keep thinking to yourself, and everybody does this, they're saying, well, you know what? This is to get into the playoffs. I mean, you know, it's got to take a heck of a lot more than a little nerve to keep me from playing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, none of us have had that injury, so we really don't know. But because of that, we really don't know. I think people really think negatively of that. You know, think negatively of the fact that, well, wait a minute now, he couldn't find a way to get into the game, you know, because of some nerve. Are you kidding me? I mean, nerves, you know, may paralyze you. I don't know what the heck it is, but I think he's had a number of those. It's like the you were talking about before, you know, hamstrings and things like that. You think, okay, well, I'm a quarterback. I don't. How many times do I have to just take off and run?
Mm-hmm.
If I do, it's by choice.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, if I have a hamstring, I ought to be able to, you know, function.
Like if you were playing a game of Operation, you would have red dots all over Marcus Mariota's body.
Yeah.
The neck, the elbow, the hamstring,
yeah,
the ankle, or the lower leg that he broke in Jacksonville in week 16
a couple
years ago.
And even that injury, you know, I mean, he got hurt. There's no doubt about it. But he was tackled from behind. His foot's underneath. He goes down. You know, it wasn't a violent hit. It was just kind of a tackle. Somebody chasing you down.
Do you think there's anything to the fact that he hasn't looked the same since then? Because that was the end of the year that we were talking about, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks. And ever since that moment where he left that game in Jacksonville, I mean, he hasn't at least stat-wise, he hasn't been the same. But, you know, quarter-to-quarter inconsistency has also been an issue as well.
Yeah. I mean, the worst thing that happened to him, in my opinion, was DeMarco, when DeMarco left. DeMarco quit. It was done.
Let's go to Charles, who wants to weigh in on Marcus Mariota. Charles, welcome into Jared and the GM.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I was just having a quick question about the consistency of the quarterback position, because two things that Mariota hasn't had consistency with help in has been the number of offensive coordinators he's had and the number of wide receivers he's had that's gone down over the last couple of years. Would you mind addressing that for me?
Thanks, Charles, for the call.
Yeah, and those are both issues now. I mean, it's not – That's not a secret to anybody. And I think we've, you know, we've talked about that. And I think we understand that it is an issue. I mean, you can't, you know, it takes a young quarterback longer than a camp and an off season to learn a new offense. And I think part of the problem, you know, with him and with any young quarterback is they don't know the league well enough that they can turn the league off and go ahead and just isolate on the new offense. And like Aaron Rodgers is going through right now, and we see Aaron Rodgers going through some of the bumps with their new offense, and Aaron Rodgers knows the league. You know, knowing the league is not an issue for him. It's just getting accustomed to this new offense. Well, if you're a young guy and you don't know the league the way you want to, and now you're forced to learn another offense from another guy, I mean, it's a lot to take in. I mean, and we have used that excuse for him both with the receivers, getting adjusted to new receivers, and getting adjusted to the new offense for, what, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think in year five, we've kind of gotten to the point where we say, okay, you know, I got it. This year's going to be a little bit of a repeat, and it's not going to quite be the same. And
but it is a first-year offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So how much does that factor into everything?
Well, I think it's not, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I'm not sure it's going to factor in quite as much because I'm not sure Arthur is coming in here saying, like a lot of young quarterback gurus and offensive coordinators, that, you know, I'm going to make my name by throwing the ball all over the park because that's the way you do it. You know, look at what happened with anybody. I mean, you can look throughout the league. But, I mean, if you want to make it your name as an offensive coordinator, you got to be able to throw the ball up and down the field. If you can't do that, I think Arthur is more along the Vrabel line, which is, I don't care about stats. I don't care about recognition. I don't care about how many games did we win? You know, did we win that game? And if we won that game, then the rest of it's okay with me.
Coming up next, it is Chris Sanders making his weekly appearance on this program. So Chris Sanders, former Titans wideout, will be joining us here shortly. But the Nashville Predators Foundation will host their 7th annual Craft Beer Fest presented by Allegiant this coming Saturday. The festival features craft brews, food, games, and entertainment. Attendees receive a souvenir glass and unlimited tastings from more than 70 breweries. Participants must be aged 21 or older and present a valid photo ID with ticket for entry. To purchase tickets, visit NashvillePredators.com. Chris Sanders coming up next on Jared and the GM. I'm Ryan Porth in for Jared Stillman this afternoon, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese, on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in to Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios. Ryan Porthen for Jared Stillman, alongside the GM, Floyd Reese. Floyd, every Wednesday at 2:45, former Titans receiver, or is it forever Titans receiver, Chris Sanders joins us here on Jared and the GM. Chris?
What's up, guys?
How we doing?
Man, I'm doing all right, man. I almost forgot to call in. I was watching Judge Judy, man. That's my favorite show.
Oh, I thought you may have been watching the Cincinnati Reds sweep the Houston Astros, but that's neither
baseball.
Here nor there.
Is that baseball?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I thought it was a soccer or something. I don't even know what baseball is.
Chris, we started the show on Marcus Mariota, and yeah. Ross Tucker came on these airwaves yesterday and said that Marcus Mariota being, quote, average would be the worst thing for the Titans in 2019, basically saying that you would still not really know what Marcus Mariota is at that point. Do you agree or disagree with him?
I mean, it's just a hard question. I mean, everybody knows that Marcus Mariota is a great athlete. He can be a great quarterback. I just think the thing that's really hurting him is, can he stay healthy? I mean, we keep saying each year, the last couple of years, we've seen spurts of him playing good. We've seen spurts of him playing, but then all of a sudden he gets hurt. I think last year, you know, when the Tennessee Titans and their season was on the line to go to the playoffs, when they lost to Indianapolis Colts and he didn't play, I just think it just puts a bad taste in people's mouth because, you know, when a game is on the line and when he needs to be there, I just think him being injured just really puts a bad taste in people's mouth.
How sure are you or unsure are you and Marcus just overall in terms of being the guy for the Titans?
I mean, I think he can be. I mean, I know everybody's been talking about getting weapons around him. I mean, he's, in my opinion, if you're a quarterback, you got to make everybody around you better. It doesn't matter who you have in there. Now you got A.J. Brown, you got Corey Davis, you got Humphreys, you got Walker, you got Henry, you got all these guys. Now the ball's in his court. And I just think that if he just goes out there and just plays consistent every week, I'm not talking about throwing for 500, 600 yards a game. Just be consistent every week. You know, just like last year, when they played against the Eagles, I mean, he looked like a world beater. He looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Then the weekend after that, they played the Indianapolis Colts, and he throws in the cover too. So that's the kind of things that we're seeing. We need to see the consistency. We need to see him being on the field and playing to the high level that he's capable of playing.
Chris, what do you do with Marcus if, when this whole thing is said and done, in your mind, you're saying, okay, I'm not sure he can ever win a Super Bowl for us, but he's going to be a solid guy that's going to get us the, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins every year. Which way do you go?
I know this sounds kind of wild, but I would go with the solid guy because just say if you let Marcus go and he goes and signs with another team, then you got to start all over and you got to go on the draft, and then now you're right back to square one. Now you're dealing with a rookie all over again. You got to teach him the system. You got to teach him all over again. So now if you have Marcus Mariota, you're winning 7, 8 games. You're 9-7, 9-7. Then all of a sudden you win that 10th game, and then he gets high and goes to the Super Bowl. And I think it can work like that. I mean, look at what happened with Steve McNair. I mean, Steve McNair was in the same position. I mean, we're 8-8, then we're 9-7, and 8-8, then all of a sudden we get to, our new stadium. All of a sudden we go 13-3. Like, whoa. If you look at the year that McNair played, McNair was okay that season, but he just found ways to win. And I just think if Marcus Mariota can do that, just find a way to win those games that we're not supposed to win, I think he can do some damage in the league.
Do you ever remember, and we talked about this, and I think Ryan asked me, I don't ever remember having a discussion about whether or not Steve was the guy.
That's a great question.
I mean, I don't. I just always assumed he was the guy. You know?
I did too. I mean, even the year in 1999 when he got hurt and you hurt his sternum, you just felt that he was like Superman. You just knew that he was going to come back. You just knew that something special was going to happen, and it happened. You know, when we played Pittsburgh, I just think with Marcus Mariota, he's got to have one of those defining games. And when I say one of those defining games, and just kind of give you an example for the listeners, you know, in 1999 when Steve Mack got hurt and he sat up for like 4 games, and then Neil O'Donnell comes in, and then we get to Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden Neil O'Donnell gets hurt and his nose is bloody. Then here comes Steve McNair trotting in, and, you know, after he hurt in his sternum, then he throws a ball to a guy named Chris Sanders on 3rd and 14 or something like that.
Who makes a great catch. great leaping catch.
And then he throws it to Aaron Kenny, and then he catches the ball and catches the corner around, and we win the game. I think Mariota needs that statement to say, you know what, I'm back. And if you look at after that game, and a lot of people don't catch this, but after he throws that touchdown, he grabs the ball and he runs off like with a smirk on his face like, hey, I'm not going there nowhere. And I just think that Mariota needs that staple game.
Chris Sanders with us here on Jared and the GM. Chris, I agree with you. I do think Marcus Mariota has had those moments, though. Mm-hmm. He has had those moments where he's brought the Titans back in the fourth quarter and down the stretch.
Right.
But it seems like whenever he does that, then there's a, you know, a stinker that follows it up. Or he gets hurt. Or it's like there's a struggle for him for taking that moment in the fourth quarter with less than a couple minutes left and carrying that over into a month where he just completely dominates.
See, there's a difference between, you know, momentum and carrying it over. I mean, I agree with you 110%. We have those moments. We're like, woo, he is the best moments. But in this league, you're not going to last long. You just have moments and you're not consistent. I mean, if you look at some of the top quarterbacks in the league, you know, Aaron Rodgers may have one bad game, 12 or 13 of those games, man, he's thrown for 400 yards. I just think that we're looking for that consistent quarterback. It's not, when I say consistent quarterback, I'm not talking about throwing, you know, for 400, 500 yards. It's just been consistent. You know, hold on to the ball, not making bad decisions, not fumbling the ball, things like that. And I just think if he can be consistent and play with his skill level, I think he can be a great quarterback in this league. I just think everybody needs to just kind of pump their brakes a little bit and just say, okay, let's look at this year and let's see if he performs on a level that he's capable of, then sign him to a long-term deal.
Speaking of consistency, Corey Davis has been pretty inconsistent in terms of production so far. There are certain games that you can pluck from last season, the Eagles game, the Patriots game, and then there are other games where he's largely unheard of or unheard from. Do you think that's more of a product of him trying to get acclimated to the NFL or the supporting cast and the quarterback being inconsistent with him?
I mean, it's both. And all the two, also, it also goes back to, you know, still getting opportunities. When they played against the Eagles and he had that big, gigantic game, then the next week he catches like one or two balls. We got to remember that the defenses are smart. They're going to take their best receiver out of the game. And I just think that he's got to understand it. If they have double coverage, he's got to understand how to get open. And I think with Corey Davis, I just think if he plays consistent every week and be the big player that he's capable of being, I think he can be one of the best receivers in this league. You know, I talked to it's a guy named Taylor that's one of the that works over there for the Tennessee Titans. He said Corey Davis has been having a great, great camp, and he's understanding how to be the number one receiver. There's a lot of people that automatically put a receiver and say, okay, he's the number one guy, but he's not the number one guy. Now, Corey Davis is understanding what it takes to be the number one guy. And once he gets that, then I think he's going to take his game to a whole different level. And that's when Mariota can really, really trust him.
I have to think. I was looking at it today, looking at some of the numbers. You think, okay, Davis caught 65 passes, I think.
It don't even seem like it, does it?
No, it doesn't. Delaney averages probably, 60 to 70?
Yeah.
You bring in Humphreys, who I think caught 72 or something like that. I mean, you've got some weapons. Lewis was our number two receiver.
That's
behind Davis. So, I mean, you've got some people in the offense that can catch the ball. I would have to think Marcus's confidence would have to skyrocket when he goes out there and looks at those guys and thinks, okay, I don't have to worry about trying to get the ball to one guy or one batter. And I've got my just read the coverage and get the ball where it's safe.
That's all you got to do. I mean, look, Floyd, you named some great guys. You got Denard Walker, you got Humphreys, you got Davis, you got A.J. Brown, you got Deion Lewis, you got Henry, you got all these guys. Now, it's just like being at the table on Thanksgiving. You're like, ooh, I'm licking my chops, everything. But the thing that he has to do, and Floyd, you said it, he's got to read the coverage and get the guy the ball where it's supposed to be. Yeah. And that's all it is. And the thing about it is, the one thing about Marcus, don't be Superman. Just don't be Superman. Just, okay, if it's cover two or cover three, take the swing pass. If it's man-to-man, look at the matchups. I just think if he gets to that level, Floyd, and he, with all these weapons, with all this talent, with the running game, with all the receivers that they have, man, I'm telling you, this can be a dangerous offense. And the one word that I hate is potential.
Yeah.
I don't want this to look on paper and say, we have the potential of being good, and then he goes out there and throws five interceptions. Now, what do you do now?
Let me ask you this one. We're seeing where Aaron Rodgers is having a little bit of trouble with LaFleur's offense because he can't change the plays at the line of scrimmage. Or I guess LaFleur doesn't like that. How much do you think that would hurt, you know, a fourth and fifth year quarterback to be forced into running some plays that maybe you knew weren't going to work?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question because I was actually looking at that. And we always talk about a player being a professional. And this is a perfect example of Aaron Rodgers that needs to be a professional. I understand and I respect Aaron Rodgers. He's probably one of the best quarterbacks of all times. He's got a new system. He's got to learn some new things. But as a player, even though I may know a lot of things, and even as a receiver, there's some routes that I ran good and there's some routes that I didn't want to run. But as me listening to my coach, if I want to be a team player, I have to listen to the coach. And with Aaron Rodgers, I understand he's a Pro Bowl. I understand he's a Hall of Fame. I understand he's been around and he knows everything about football. But this is about being a professional and listening to your offensive coordinator or your head coach. And that's how I kind of look at it.
Chris Sanders appears on Jared and the GM every Wednesday at 2:45. Chris, thank you so much.
Man, pleasure's all mine, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome, guys.
Guys, okay. We'll talk to you next week. Chris Bye-bye. Sanders, former, or as he puts it, forever Tennessee Titans receiver, joining us here on Jared and the GM. Update from Omaha, Vandy leads Mississippi State 1-0 in the top of the third. Steven Scott had a solo shot in the top of the second. Kumar Rocker on the mound right now for the Commodores.
I'm going to tell you what, now Rocker throws some stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got this. I mean, that ball is breaking everywhere.
There is no doubt about it. Coming up next, let's get into the Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. I don't want to say feud because I don't think it's a feud yet, but the whole play, the whole audible bit that Floyd just brought up with Chris Sanders. Let's get into that on the other side. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app.